Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
What if, and I want you to remember that phrase, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. I want to back up and read that first verse one more time, verse number 22. What if God, I like them first three words, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask that you'll bless your word as you always do. And we pray, Lord God, that you will bless also our hearts, minds, and ears to receive it with meekness. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. In the holy name of Jesus, we ask. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. For just a few moments tonight, I want to touch on a simple little thought, the what ifs, the what ifs. How many knows it's God's business what he decides to do as pertaining to an individual? I can remember growing up and, you know, you've heard me say this more than once when we're young and dumb. It's easy to fall into that category, Sister Nedra, where we look at an individual. And I tell you what, it's a good thing we're not God, because the individual would be consumed right before our very eyes. And it's easy, Brother Gene, for us to look at that individual through carnal eyes and expect them to already have arrived. Now, I have seen this in many different respects, not just in the spiritual walk with people's lives, but in natural things as well. I've seen musicians many times, Sister Crystal, somebody come along, and they expect that musician who's only been playing for about a year to be playing like someone who's been playing for 30 years. And, buddy, they tell you everything wrong about that musician and tell you how bad they sound and how much out of time they are and how many raw notes they hit, but you don't see any tricks out of them. And it's a lot of times in the church the same way. People sit back a lot of times, Sister Shahida, in pews, and they will complain. They'll nitpick their brothers and sisters to death sometimes. And they themselves, you can't get them to lift a finger to help. Having said that, I want to say something. Before, I was thinking about this earlier, and I want to interject this, and then we'll get right back to the message. But I want to commend the women of this church for a moment, and that's not to leave the guys out. But I want to give roses to the women tonight, because we have some youngins here in our church, and I told Crystal, I sat back and kind of just dawned on me, Brother Gene, our women are doing exactly what the Word of God says they're supposed to do. Some of you women have taken some of our young girls under your wings. Some of you have taken them out to eat. Some of you have taken them out shopping. Some of you have put your arms around them and prayed with them. Some of you have taught them, and you have been a spiritual mother to them, and I just want to praise you for that and thank you for that, because without even being told to do so, you've done that. And that's, you know, our young people need that. They need mentors. They need people in their lives. And you know, it's not just the pastor's job to help the young people, and it's not just mom and dad's job to help the young people. They used to say that it takes a whole community to raise a kid. Well, I believe it's the same way in the house of God. Every brother and sister has a piece of that child and the way that they can impact them. So going back to my thought, sometimes people, we get in the way and we want to analyze the situation, Brother Mike, and we want to say, man, I tell you what, well, it's a good thing I ain't God. Yes, it is. It's a good thing I ain't God, because God is the only one who has unlimitless mercy. I want to read that verse one more time just in case you didn't catch it the first time. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, listen to this, endured with much what? Long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Basically what that means, you know, we look at things and we say, Sister Nedra, why is it God's just allowing this to go on? Because he's long-suffering, Brother Gene. We can look at someone, we can say, you know, God should just wipe them off the map. He should just get them out of the way. They're doing so much harm that they're just no good to anybody. I don't understand why God just keeps them around. God has the ability to look down the road. What if God would have took that approach with the Apostle Paul? A big portion of this wouldn't have been written in the New Testament. If God would have just cast him aside because of how much he persecuted the saints and how much of a hypocrite he was. The Apostle Paul, as you know, turned out to be one of the greatest apostles of all time. And God used him mightily for us, the Gentile. I shudder to think where we would be, Sister Nedra, if it hadn't been for the Apostle Paul. And that's not to praise and lift him up, because we shouldn't lift up any man. It's all God. But God used the Apostle Paul so that we could become engrafted. It wasn't just the Jew under Peter's tutelage. It was you and I under Paul's. Paul picked up where our father Abraham left off. See, Abraham started this whole walk of faith. And then the law came along. You know, and we touched on some of that this morning. Yes, we will do it. No, they couldn't. You know. But then the Apostle Paul came along and says, we're justified by faith. We put our faith in God, but it's by the grace of God that we are saved. It's a gift of God, not that anyone should boast within himself, because it's God's gift. But thank God for the Apostle Paul. And I begin to think about this thought, the what ifs. How many times we've seen this, not only throughout the Word of God, and we're going to give some examples here in a minute, but we've seen it in our own time. The first one that comes to my mind is in Genesis. In the 18th chapter of Genesis, in verse 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord, speaking of Abraham, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, in other words, what if, 10 shall be found there, Lord. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Second one is in Genesis 42:4. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure, or what if, mischief befall him. And then Genesis 24:39 says, and I said unto my master, peradventure, or what if, the woman will not follow me. Now, I read those three passages because there's basically, when you get right down to it, there's three basic areas of coverage for the what ifs. And that is the area of negotiations, doubt, and fear. Negotiations, doubt, and fear. The negotiations, we read the first one there with Abraham. He feared for Lot. He feared for his family. And so he entered into negotiations with God. What if, Lord, there be 10 people found? Will you destroy a whole city if there's 10 righteous found? God said, if you can find 10, I'll not destroy it for 10's sake. He was willing to negotiate with Abraham. A lot of times God negotiates with us, we don't even realize it. He don't have to, but he does it because he's what? Long-suffering. How many times we have parents, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because everybody would have to, but how many times have we as parents jumped the gun? Instead of being patient with our child, we're ready to rush to judgment. What if God did that with us? Brother Gene told a while back, he called me off to the side and he said, I was in a cab. And there was a Muslim driver, and he was ranting and raving about our country and different things. And Brother Gene said, and I don't know, I might not be getting all this just right, but he said, I finally took as much as I could take. And he said, now, wait a minute here. Let's wait a minute here. He said, our God does not require us to strap bombs to ourselves and blow ourselves up for him. He laid his life down for us. But some people would have it to where, if they were God, we'd be in trouble. What if God rushed to judgment? What if our God was like some of these heathen gods, where they required people to be thrown into volcanoes as an offering? Can you imagine taking your child and bundling them up and offering them to some volcano? Thank God we serve a merciful, long-suffering, loving God. And so he entered into negotiations. The second one is this area of doubt. And if you remember, Isaac was looking for a wife. And he sent his messenger out, you know, and he was supposed to find him a wife. And I'll read the verse again. He said unto my master, peradventure, what if the woman is not willing to follow me? You know, a lot of times people have asked that question in the church. Now, don't fall out with me, but God will nudge us sometimes, and he'll say, do this, whatever that do this is. You can fill in the blank, okay? I'm not going to meddle there. But he'll say, do this in a service, and what do? We just sit there. We want to play Peter. Lord, if it's really you. Well, the devil sure ain't, I like what Brother Truby used to say, the devil sure ain't going to tell you to do anything good. He's not going to tell you to go over there, Sister Shahida, and lay hands on somebody and say, be healed. He wants them to stay sick. And he said, furthermore, so the devil never told you you wasn't saved until he knew you was saved. And he never told you you didn't have the Holy Ghost until you heard you speak in tongues. So you just got to play reverse psychology with the devil. Whatever he tells you, just believe the opposite of it. Because he's a liar and the father of all lies. So many times we say, Lord, okay, what if I do? Lord said, go over there and talk to that person and ask them, do they know Jesus? But Lord, what if? Forget the what if. What if Jesus said what if? What if when he, here I go with what if. What if he was in the garden, he was praying. Instead of saying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. What if he would have said, I'm not so sure I want to go any farther, Lord. It's been a good journey. Made a few friends along the way. Got some pretty good fellows over here. They were praying, now they're asleep. But what if Jesus would have took that approach and never went to the cross? Well, then what started with Noah would have ended with Christ. We wouldn't even be here. So the what ifs need to be thrown off to the side. Negotiations and in the area of doubt. I can't tell you how many times in my life Sister Wanda, God's told me to do something, huh? And shamingly I have to say, I haven't always done it. I'll just talk about me tonight. I have walked away, hung my head low, and thought, Lord, please don't let that person go to hell because I wasn't obedient to you. Lord, what? Lord said, go over. I remember I was in Shawnee Park one time. I was younger. Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, go over and talk to that guy about Jesus. And this guy's about twice my size. I said, but Lord, what if he pops me one? And I let fear get in the way. Now, I could blame it on saying I was young and dumb all I want to, but that really wasn't what it was. I let fear take over, which was the next verse here. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, what if mischief befalls him? He already knew what happened to Joseph, or at least what they told him, that a wild beast had tore him up. And now this is the only original baby from his original wife, from the bloodline that's left, and he's not going to offer him to the wolves. How many times do we play that card? How many has ever heard of the book, The Cross and the Switchblade? Pastor David Wilkerson, one of the greatest pastors. And I tell you what, I don't know how many people today, Sister Wanda, if God would have told us to do what he told Brother Dave to do, that we would do it. Went to the roughest, toughest part, I believe it was of New York, to where the gang members were, and began to witness to them about Jesus. One of the accounts said that they took his shoes. They wanted his shoes. They took his shoes. I don't know what all they took from him. But to make a very long story short, one of the ones that gave him the most grief ended up in his church being a big-time worker. I don't remember the name of the guy. What was it?
Mickey.
Mickey, yes, sir. God will take a situation that to us looks extremely impossible. What we cannot see, Brother Mark, as something that will materialize with something good. Because in our mind, how many's ever went to a job interview and before you got there, you got the sweats and your mind starts painting pictures and you're picturing the person that's going to be interviewing you with fangs and long hair or whatever, you know, they're going to eat me, you know, and I don't know what I'm going to say when I get there. And your mind just makes everything 100 times worse than what it is. And then finally, when you get there, you find out the person talking to you is nothing but a big teddy bear. You know, they got past that hurdle. And then they start asking you questions. I know some of you can relate to this. And, well, what can you bring to the company? Man, I hate it when they ask that question. Because you always, me anyway, I always draw a blank, you know. They go, well, I'm here to get a paycheck. I'm here to help you out. You know, that ain't what they want to hear, you know. They want to know what you're going to bring to the company. But fear sets in many times, and we do it to ourselves because our mind paints a picture. Peter on the boat, you know, said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come. He'd already said it was me, you know, but Peter wasn't looking at him. He was looking at the waves. I don't know if I want to do this or not. come, Peter. Well, the Lord said come, so he started out good, didn't he? Until he got his eyes off of Jesus again. See, that's the key. That's where the what ifs come into play. God says, whether you're preaching, whether you're singing, whether you're doing a nursing home service, a jail service, whatever your calling is, God will tell us, he'll speak to us, Brother Tracy, say, do that one thing, whatever it is. And we're either going to enter into negotiations with him. And you don't have to back me if you don't want to, but it's still true. We do. We want to enter into negotiations with God. But Lord, now if you'll do this, I'll do that. Well, God didn't ask us that. He didn't open it for negotiations. Or number two, then there's that seed of doubt in our mind. Well, what if I do it and nothing happens? Well, what if nothing happens? That's not up to you. That's not my business. I like what the late, great Bill Fay used to say, and he was the one that came up with share your faith with without an argument. And he was the one that gave those statistics of 7.7 or 7.5 times, whatever it is, that you will witness to somebody on an average before they'll give their heart to God. He said, you might be the first one, or you might be the 7.7th one to come along and pour water finally on that seed one last time, and then boom, they're ready to pray. And like Brother Gene said, all you might do is say, Jesus loves you. That might be enough to break that stony heart, because somebody else has already been chiseling away at it. You see, God uses us in different ways. My uncle, I'll use him for example. My uncle's a lot like my mom. He can walk up to a total stranger and start talking to him. I'm not made up that way at all. And he's just got a charisma about him, a way about him, where he can say something and he can either make people laugh or sometimes make them mad, you know, if he's talking about Obama or something. I don't, but he don't care where he's at or how he approaches it. He'll approach it and he'll get people engaged in a conversation. Now then, after that, it's just yes or no as pertaining to God. And so I say that to say this. God has the sledgehammers, and then he has the delicatessens that come along and put the final touches on things. I kind of consider myself in that category, because Pastor Dylan for 35 years dropped the sledgehammer here. And Brother Gene, I come along, just pour a little bit of water on it. The Apostle Paul says, one man builds a foundation and another man builds thereon. But we're all serving the same God and we're all reaching for the same goal. To edify Jesus Christ. And then, of course, that last one's a big one. Fear. Fear will neutralize an individual. And I just want to say how much it warmed my heart to hear how many people tonight testified about witnessing to somebody. I commend you highly for that, because that blesses me to let me know that you're listening. Because I'll be honest with you, church, and some of these that's been with me for years knows when we pastored the first time, I had the same mission statement there as I do now, the same very same scripture. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's always been my motto. That's always been what I've been about. And that's why I went on so much about Target Dayton, because when we went there, Brother Gene, to me, that was the pinnacle of ministry. They have that laid out. I mean, I can't get over how well they have that laid out, Brother Archie. The way it just runs like a smoothly greased or oiled machine. Everything just flows. And it's just great the way they've got it set up. And so it feels good to know when you're preaching that the message isn't going out and bouncing back, but people are taking that to the streets, or they're taking it to Walmart, or they're taking it to their job, or wherever they might be, and they're not afraid, Sister Alice, to stand up for Jesus and say, hey, do you know who the Son of God is? Amen. Or, hey, do you know Jesus loves you? So I commend you for that. But the what ifs have kept many a people out of heaven. Heaven was intended for those people that used the what ifs originally. But hell is filled with all those good intentions. All those people that could have amounted to so much. And we see so many great leaders that have come and gone. So many great preachers. So many great singers. Vestal Goodman is one I can think of that even to this day I can hear that woman sing and just the waterworks start. There's a couple of shots where her and Dottie Rambo got together before Dottie Rambo died, and then later on Sister Vestal died. There's a couple times they got together and they were singing a couple songs together. One of them they were singing was Those Holy Heels. And I tell you what, you cannot sit there and watch that video and listen to them sing without shouting. I mean, it's just like you picture heaven And you know they're singing it from their soul. They ran that race, Brother Archie, all them years. But hell is filled with good intentions. Hell is filled today with so many Vestal Goodmans that could have been. So many Billy Grahams that could have been. The list could go on and on and on. But, you know, and Brother Mike and Sister Juana probably relate to this, especially Brother Mike, because he's in the teaching zone there. But there, I feel like the Apostle Paul, only to a much greater level than what the Apostle Paul said. I feel like I really do believe I am the least of my brethren, because I have seen many great minds come along. I have heard many great preachers that I would just sit there astounded at how things roll off of their tongue, and I'm thinking, my God, where are they getting this stuff? Where's it coming from? I mean, they have to be spending hours and hours and hours on their knees in order to be able to preach like this. And just, it just rolls, and they'll stand and preach for over an hour like that. And the whole time they're preaching, the people are either on their feet or they're rejoicing, or you can just tell God's moving. And I think, Lord, if I could just get a piece of that. And I say that to say this, there's many, many great minds out there that are so far beyond mine, that are in hell tonight, that God could have used in a mighty way. I read about a man and heard about a man years ago who memorized the whole Dayton phone book. What? He memorized everybody's address, everybody's phone number in alphabetical order, because he had nothing better to do. He had a photographic memory. And the first thing that went through my mind, I know that sounds incredible, doesn't it? But it just goes to show you what God made, okay? And I thought, Brother Gene, what if, there's that word again, that phrase again. What if that man would have been a Christian? And what if he would have applied that same time to the Word of God? Amen. I mean, you know, we've got a guy today by the name of Dr. Jack Van Impe who's almost done the whole Bible. Not quite all of it, but he's got most of it memorized. But this guy has got a photographic. There's a difference between memorizing and a snapshot. And a person that has a photographic memory, from what I understand, it's not short term. It's something that once they got it, they got it. They had a guy on Guinness World Book of Records that was doing that, and they had, I don't know how many hundreds of people lined up, and they were all telling the guy their full name, first, middle, initial, and last, and their, wasn't a social security number, but some kind of number that was tied to them. And I think it was their phone number and their address. And he got to the end, and he was looking at the guy who was keeping the records, and he said, okay, start. And he went from the very first one and started reciting every single thing they told him without missing a beat. I thought, my Lord, if I had a brain like that. I mean, wow, you know, how much easier this would be, Lord. You know, and I'm sure everybody feels that way. You know, I would think so anyway. But what if Jesus were to come right now? For some of us, that would be an awesome what if. But for others, it would be a horrible what if. Why, Brother Jim? Because some of us, in sitting here tonight, know better. Some of us know that should he come right now, what if he came? And Brother Gene, they'd split hell wide open for eternity. All of a sudden, that thing, Sister Wanda, that's so important to them, or that person that's so important to them, or that place that's so important, would mean absolutely nothing, because they, for eternity, would be consumed over and over. They cannot perish, but they would feel every bit of the pain. Yes, I'm getting graphic tonight, because I don't want to see anybody die lost and go to hell. I don't want to see Hitler go to hell. You can get quiet on me if you want to, but Hitler had a soul. What if Jesus came right now? They got a video, and I'll close on it. They got a video online, and I don't know how many of you seen it. Been going around for a few years now. And I believe he's an Australian pastor. He's got some kind of accent. And he's preaching on the rapture. You know what I'm talking about, Sister Wanda. And it's a big church. I don't know how they pulled this video off, but it's awesome. And it'll shake you. If you've never seen it before, when you first time you see it, it'll shake you. He's preaching. He said, I'm telling you, Jesus can come back at any time. He can come in the morning. He can come at noon. Well, he can even boom, and he's gone, and half the congregation is gone, and there's people looking around, and they're by themselves. I don't know how they did it, what kind of effects they used, but it's powerful. But you know what? That's going to become a reality. What if Jesus came back right now? it was the aliens. No, aliens didn't have anything to do with it. What if? Where would we be? Where will we be? Where will we be when Jesus returns? What if? What if he came tonight? Lord, I pray that you'll deal with hearts. I pray, Lord, if there's those here tonight, Lord, that's ready, I pray, Father, that they'll not put it off any longer. I pray that they'll come. Quit blaming other people. Quit making excuses for themselves. And Lord, look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Bless your word tonight to our hearts, our minds, and our ears, that we'll not forget it, that this simple phrase will resonate through our heart and through our mind in the days and the weeks to come. What if? What if? In the mighty name of Jesus.
They come and go by the droves, standing on spotlighted stages, before applauding crowds. Their confident smiles seem to say, the big time now. Can you tell me how life could get any better than this? I guess they'll never know about that big time show set aside for the sighing of the ages. And I'm just warming. That's not my home. I'm already scheduled there. In that land so fair, we'll be singing around the throne. And then they'll call his name to that center stage. Jesus, God's Son. Church song. No number one hit song will I need at all to inscribe my name in gold. I won't need nobody's help to teach me how to stand or sing shape notes. I've got just one request. Let me do my best to make a joyful noise while I'm just warming up for my featured song. I'm just warming up in a world that's not my home. I'm already scheduled there. In that land so fair, we'll be singing around the throne. And then they'll call his name to that center stage. Jesus, God's Son.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.